Welcome to the Abracadam Podcast, and I'm your host, stand-up comedy magician Danny Whitson. It has definitely been an interesting week. I don't know if you guys follow what was going on with GameStop and the stock market, but it looks like a bunch of Reddit users have stuck it to the man. So that's always good. I'll be honest with you, I don't understand stocks and stuff. I don't follow it. I don't know anything. I think the closest that I've ever come to dabbling in stocks was Preferred Stock, and that was like a real crappy cologne that I wore in the eighth grade. So, and let's be honest, I didn't dabble. I washed it all over my body. All right, eighth grade. But other than that, you know, if you've made some money off of GameStop, go for it. Go for it. Hopefully, I need to learn. I need to get my best friend to teach me some of that stuff so I can quit being a broke bastard. I'm excited to announce that the Abracadam Podcast has some new sponsorship. So let me just start things off by saying this episode is brought to you by Bob's Washboard Wash and Fold Service. Now, I don't know about you, but I hate doing laundry. I can't stand it. No, I got better things to do in life than to fold my socks. So let Bob's Washboard Wash and Fold Service do that for you. Do your complete wash in only 4 minutes. 2 minutes to drop it off and 2 minutes to pick it up. Drop off your laundry and go live your life, baby. Go find something fun to do. Go see a movie. Go catch butterflies. Go paint trees. Whatever it is you like to do, go do it. Come back, and your laundry will be clean, folded, and ready to go. Also, if you're traveling to the Knoxville area or Anderson County area and you need somewhere to do your laundry, Bob's Washboard Wash and Fold will take care of you. Definitely check them out at 122 Randolph Road, Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and give them a call at 865-951-3237 and give our Facebook page a like at Bob's Washboard. Also, this episode is brought to you by Mad Science Judo and Jiu-Jitsu. Now, I've been watching the Cobra Kai series on Netflix here lately, and it got me thinking about some things. Like, what would you do, Danny, if you were attacked? I mean, would you really, really, truly know how to defend yourself? Now, most of us think, like, we can get away with pick up a wrench or something, or maybe do the molar and curly eye poke. But let's be honest, you wouldn't know what to do. That's why you need to let Coach Ted at Mad Science Judo and Jiu-Jitsu teach you what to do. Now, Coach Ted is a 20-year military veteran, and he served in Iraq and Afghanistan, so this guy knows real-world self-defense. He's a fourth-degree black belt in Jiu-Jitsu, he's a fourth-degree black belt in Judo, a second-degree black belt in Kenpo, and a first-degree black belt in Kung Fu. The list goes on and on. This guy's got more belts than a JCPenney's and a Belk. Got more than a Goodwill. And right now, they've got an introductory special going, a 2-week trial program for just $39.99. You get 2 weeks of unlimited classes and a training uniform to wear. Definitely can't beat this. Be sure to check out Mad Science Judo and Jiu-Jitsu located at 697 Emery Valley Road, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Give them a call at 865-440-2210 and check them out on the internet at madsciencejudoandjiujitsu.com. Now, besides being attacked, another thing we all need to think about is what would you do if your car broke down? You'd be stuck. Yeah. Who would you call? I mean, that's a big fear of mine. What would I do? I'm no mechanic. I'll be honest with you. I don't know anything about cars. I don't. But that's okay. Because if you do break down, let Will's Towing take care of you. That's right. Will Roberts at Will's Towing. Professional service, fast and safe. Will's Towing. Anytime your car breaks down, any trouble, don't hesitate to call Will at 865-272-5300, located at 2081 Oak Ridge Turnpike, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Let Will's Towing
be your first choice for any of your towing services.
Okay. I'm so excited with today's guest on the podcast. He's a stand-up comedian who I've known for years. We've worked together. He's always fun to be around. Very funny guy. It's also been so fun watching his career blow up on YouTube and on social media with his emotional support beer chugging character that he has created. He is he's a political figure kind of guy. You don't necessarily have to be a liberal to enjoy his videos either. You can be a Republican. He kind of makes fun of things that we're all kind of thinking about anyways. So if you guys, please sit back, relax, and enjoy my fun conversation with stand-up comedian Brent Terhune.
Okay, we got Mr. Brent Terhune. Welcome to the Abracadam Podcast, brother. How you doing?
Good, man. Thank you for having me on.
All right, Brent. Now, like I said, I know who you are, and a lot of people on social media know who you are. But for the ones that may not know who Brent Terhune is, tell them about yourself.
Primarily, I'm a stand-up comedian, and I was before the pandemic, and I traveled the country working the road, but I haven't done that, 10, 11 months. But, most people would know me from my satirical rants from Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and YouTube, stuff like that. He's a guy that whenever you see somebody rant in their truck about something, it's a parody up on that. So whatever my character, which people are always like, what's the character's name? I'm like, I never gave him a name. I call him the redneck y'all love to hate, because anybody in those videos, when they're aware that the audience hates them, they're always like, oh, you hate me, but it fuels me. But I love it when anybody's like fueled by somebody else's hate, when they can tell that people hate them. But the character's very reactionary to what's going on in the news. So, he'll rant about, people saying happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas. Those are the kind of rants I like to do.
Now, okay. First of all, now I know for a fact that Brent Terhune, the stand-up comic, is different slightly as far as your stand-up goes, because your stand-up, you don't do any of this character. You've got a whole stand-up. I mean, your stand-up is great, but it's also a little different from the ranting character that you do, correct?
Yeah, I've been doing that character since, I guess, 2016, and it's really ramped up since the election in 2020. So maybe I would do a couple videos a month, but then, everything was so tense and politically charged. So I was doing a couple videos a week. But then before that, I was just doing regular stand-up. I'm a fairly clean stand-up comedian. I could perform for your grandma and which we've done, by the way, you and I, Danny, we've done some corporate stuff where you had to, you can't say certain things. I was a stand-up comedian, and then that character kind of took off in the past couple of years. And so that's what people know me from. And then they come see my show and they don't know what to expect. But I don't think anybody leaves disappointed. They just didn't know what my stand-up was like.
Gotcha. Now, that's interesting. Has anyone ever came up to you afterwards and said that to you, that your stand-up, they were expecting something else and you did something else?
They would be like, we didn't know what you're going to do, because primarily people would know me from those rants. And, primarily the characters, it's shorter than a 3-minute video, and it's very angry, and it's a quick delivery. So in my mind, I could do that character on stage. And in fact, I would eventually like to do something as that character, but to do a full set of 40 to 50 to an hour long of a guy ranting, I would be tired, and I know the audience would be like, okay, does this guy have another gear other than angry and fast talking?
This is the thing I admire about you, bro, because I mean, in this day and age, and I'm not knocking these people at all, this even came up, I talked to Ryan Niemiller, about the same thing. You have a a lot of people these days who are making these videos, they're not comics. They weren't really ever entertainers to begin with. And they go viral. And next thing you know, they are being booked in clubs and theaters. Mm-hmm. And the thing I love about you is you're like the double package, because you are a stand-up comic. You had material before these videos. So now it's just like a double whammy that, I mean, people would get just a double advantage by booking you.
Well, and yeah, that was, you see people go viral and then they're able to keep doing whatever the thing they're known for or keep making viral videos. And then, you know, comes the time when people are like, okay, how do you monetize this? You built a following. In some ways on the internet, you can monetize that, but there's, you know, to go on tour and do a show. And a lot of times they'll just, comedy club is a great place for live performance that, other than stand up, you know, so you see a lot of wrestlers will do their one man show there, or even YouTube acts, which, and people will always say, oh, he's just a YouTube, whatever, comedian, whatever. And at this point, a lot of people use that condescendingly, but I'm all, at this point, if you found a way to be successful on YouTube, good for you. Like, yeah. People always want to like demean somebody for being successful, but now that's how you find an audience, man, is from the internet. And then you bring your audience in, to a physical space and do your live show. And unfortunately, some of these acts, they built up their internet presence, but their live performance thing is non-existent. And unless they want to go on the road and be anonymous and just kind of work it out. But also, if you have an agent or a manager, they don't want you to go make $300 for the weekend. They want you to make $2,500 because they want their cut. So it's like when you see these celebrity acts that go do stand up, you know, whatever, you know, B-list celebrity is not going to feature at a club. He's automatically going to headline whether he has the skills or not.
That's true. Absolutely. And, you know, that was the toughest, probably one of the toughest things for me to even swallow was the, in show business and entertainment in 2020, to be good is not good enough. You know, you have to do what you're doing. You're doing it. You have to have some type of following. And the main way to do that is through some type of social media platform. And, you know, because that person who has a million followers will headline at the club over a person who has a solid hour.
Mm-hmm. I mean, at the end of the day, it's about putting butts in seats. And you know, and unfortunately, sometimes you get people that aren't necessarily artists, you know,
and
art quotes is
subjective,
whatever you think art is. But sometimes you get people in there that aren't artistic, I guess we'll say that.
And that's where people, I mean, you know, it's easy to moan and groan and be like, you know, it takes so long just to get a good act or get a good solid, you know, get live performing. I mean, you work so hard, you know, and all the time you spend on the road just to get to that point. And then when you get to that point, you're like, damn, now I got to make videos.
it's never. And then once you get some videos that do well, then they're always like, you got to do more videos, or you got to, now you have to write more jokes because they've seen everything that you've done on the, like the work is never done, which is great because it keeps you engaged. But also at a certain point, I'm like, man, I just want to take a break for a minute, which is what I'm doing post Christmas. I'm not doing anything.
You know, that was a big thing for me whenever everything started going virtual with a lot of the shows. Mm-hmm. I held back because, you know, I have all this new, I got basically a full new hour show that I was ready to rock for 2020, which didn't happen. So then I was like, well, you know, let's start looking at this virtual thing. And I really didn't want to, but I had to figure out a way how to be artistic and creative with a virtual comedy magic show. So it's now, like, this thing started, what, March? It's now January. And now I finally have a virtual show that I'm proud of.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to. And you've heard me already complain about the technology, like we're having. There's things I hate, and I would much rather prefer live entertainment any day. But it's kind of like in show business, you've got to be a chameleon. You got to be ready to change and, you know, when you have to, it seems like.
And that's the thing. Maybe, you know, now, you know, 2 years ago, if we did this podcast, people, maybe some people wouldn't listen because we weren't in the same room. You know, or like when you listen to a radio show, everybody's used to somebody calling in with a phone, but with a podcast, if somebody's like, oh, he's just doing a phone thing, I'll skip this episode. But now everything is on Zoom. Everything is digital. So whether, you know, these digital acts will keep moving forward, that might be something that'll go away, but I doubt. I think there'll always be some kind of virtual event thing, especially for, you know, corporations that are countrywide. You know, it's much easier to have an event where nobody has to get a plane ticket, and then you could still entertain and you know, you found out how to do it on Zoom. So it'll be interesting to see how this will continue, because we found out how many jobs don't necessarily even require you to be in the same building as your coworkers.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to completely go away. I think it's going to be another option out there on the table for, especially in the corporate. Absolutely. Now let me ask you this, because you mentioned you were a fan of wrestling, you know, to me earlier when we were talking. Did that start out first whenever you were younger? Were you I was a wrestling fan when I was a kid, and is that how it started with you with wrestling?
Yeah, I would watch, my dad would watch it, and it was always on, you know, Monday nights. They, in wrestling, if you're not familiar, they had a thing called the Monday Night War. So it was WWE and WCW would both air at the same time. So there was a ratings war. And then they would have the shows on Thursday or Friday, depending, but I would just love, I love an over the top character. And I remember finding out when wrestling was fake, it hurt worse than when I found out, if there are kids listening, fast forward, but when Santa Claus wasn't real, that the wrestling hurt more. But now I'm an adult man, knowing that wrestling is fake. Everything that we watch is pretty much fake. But I want to have you trick me into believing, the same as magic. I want to believe what I'm watching is real. It's more fun that way.
Absolutely, it is, and that's with everything. And I assure you, there's no kids listening. Fuck. Well, this is what's interesting with you, because what you have done, first of all, I know just by the Trump humping, Colts loving, emotional support, beer chugging, Brent Terhune has to be a Ric Flair fan or a Rock fan, because this is kind of what you've done. Okay, let's just be honest. Ric Flair made his money by getting people to hate him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ric Flair was probably the master at that. Looks like you're starting to do that, because what's the most hilarious thing? I will crack up. I'm looking at your Instagram, and when you would share the comments that you would get from the haters, mm-hmm. Oh my God, dude, it's so hilarious.
It's funny, because it is, that character is very much based in pro wrestling. It, you know, and wrestling, they call, you know, when a guy talks, it's called cutting a promo. And that's how I wanted it to be, was those guys never give you a wink or a nod that what you're seeing is fake. And that's what I wanted with that character, is I wanted it to be as real as possible. And I'll do some certain things that I'll, because I study all the other people that will record videos, whether it be a rant in their car or whatever, and see what they do, and like borrow things that they do, not necessarily their exact phrases, but how they'll do it. So like I said, the characters, like, you know, oh, you love me and or you hate me and I love it, that kind of thing. Or I'll just be like, you're boo hooing and crying, like just over the top, just taking one trait from a group of people and blowing it up. That's what those people do anyway. If, you know, if they'll complain about millennials and getting a participation trophy, now all of a sudden, in that guy's view, every millennial has a participation trophy. Every millennial is lazy. you just take those small things that people hate and you blow it up, but then you present it in a funny way to where if you can understand what I'm doing is satirical and making fun of these people, to me, it's more fun that way. And then you get the people that don't get it. And if they can creatively roast me or just be funny in their comments, I love to be made fun of.
Okay. Well, in that case, can you give us your favorite insult that you've been given?
One of my favorites was this guy. He was like, man, this guy lives in a trailer park. Why don't he cut my grass or something? He said, your bitch ass lives in a trailer park. Why don't you cut my grass or something? Like, he was telling me to do chores, but he wasn't very specific as to what he wanted me to do. That has always made me laugh. And on my YouTube, there's so many comments that I've gotten. I can't remember all of them, but I've done a few of them called the comment section, where I will take the comments and just break down. Because somebody was like, look, another man with an unwashed ass. Like, I don't know what that has to do with anything, but it's just funny that you assume that somehow my ass is not washed, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this, because now you've decided to go a political route with your comedy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, I mean, that's actually that's a brave thing to do. You know, a lot of people, there's a lot of entertainers who probably would want to do that, but mm-hmm. they're kind of nervous about going that way. Have you seen any, has that affected your shows or anything, or have you seen any ill effects with that?
Well, and you mentioned people that didn't go political, like Gaffigan earlier this year, kind of went off on Twitter about Trump, and, you know, he definitely got backlash, but at this point, I don't think that he cares, you know, and that's the same thing with me, especially my character is pro-Trump and an anti-Trump way, like he's a MAGA.
The ultimate troll.
Yeah, and that I wasn't setting out to be a troll, because a troll to me will just comment, oh, you look fat on your profile picture. But a lot of times I'm not reaching out to people. I'm making video and they reach out to me as far as commenting on my thing. So I don't want people to think I'm being a troll, because to me that has ill intent. But if you try to say something back, I definitely will quote troll you back, because that's more fun. But to be political, like in my regular act, there's no politics at all. And to me, I'm not really even a fan of politics, like watching politicians. More so, I'm watching the people that watch politicians. That's, in my mind, that's what I like, because especially with Trump supporters, they're so fanatical. And that's not all of them, but you've definitely seen a guy with four flags on his truck. That's the guy I'm talking about. Where, and to me, you know, if you, at this point, if you want to support Trump, then I don't need you at my show to begin with. I'm totally fine with you not being there. And I do have people that are like, oh, I'm a Republican, but I like your character. So I think they can at least appreciate what I'm doing. And, you know, to be Republican doesn't mean you're also a Trump supporter, because I definitely get a lot of those people will be like, yeah, I'm a Republican, but I don't support this guy.
You know, there's a lot of those. I mean, it seems like I know actually a few Republicans that are not Trump supporters. Mm-hmm. So it's I think the Trump train is kind of its own thing. It's kind of, you know, the way I see it.
And I think with him, you know, losing the election like he has a couple different times, but he's going to go, he'll not be president. Whether he'll go away, I don't think that's going to happen, but that the character of the guy ranting in a truck will not go away, because that guy's been around, and it's never been easier to record something with your camera. So whether it be a guy that's actually mad about whatever, or doing a parody of somebody and masks, every day you see a different video of somebody yelling about a mask in a store. That's not political. It's been made political, but those types of people are not going to go away.
That's, you know, that's true. You're going to have those morons, regardless to who's your president. Mm-hmm. And well, that's only going to benefit, you know, emotional support. Brent, so
and I've tried to do, and I've done some other videos that aren't that, because I also don't want to be pigeonholed into that character, which I do like the character, but I also, some people will, I'll post something else and be like, oh, you're breaking character. I'm like, what character, what made you think that I was just this guy 24/7? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I, like, you know, I knew you way before this character.
Yeah.
I knew you to be a solid stand-up comic. And so that's whenever I saw the videos, I was like, oh, he's brilliant. He is brilliant.
Oh, well, thanks. Because
he, you know, like I said, you're already a solid comic. So I think if anyone does catch on to you by the videos and then goes and see your act, you know, I think they're just going to be surprised and, you know, definitely happy.
So, yeah, I'm hoping. And that's always my thing. If you like cared enough to come see me live, I never want anybody to leave disappointed. That, you know, that's as far as if I'm doing a show, if you knew me or didn't know me, but you paid money to see me, I never wanted anybody to leave disappointed. You know, because you coming out is more than paying $10 to see me. It's because you got a babysitter and maybe you paid to park, and that's your one night in the month that you could go out, and you chose to spend it with me. So I never want anybody to leave the show being like, man, that sucked, you know?
Gotcha. Now, is this something, how long did it take you to decide, this float around in your head for a while before you made the first video, or was it almost a spur of the moment kind of thing?
It was a spur of the moment scrolling through Facebook and Twitter when Colin Kaepernick took a knee, and then everybody was like burning Nike jerseys and shoes and season tickets to the Colts. And I was like, man, all these people that you could have donated all this and burning their stuff, they don't care because you've already bought it. So you might as well just wear them until you were going to throw them out anyway. It was a bunch of people just grandstanding to prove a point. So I always thought that was funny, was those types of people. So that was the first one. And then a year later, I did one when Kaepernick signed the contract with Nike. Maybe I'm getting my time, but the second one I did was when Kaepernick signed the contract with Nike, and that one really blew up, was me burning stuff in my backyard.
I think I remember that. I think I remember that. The when did the go Colts? That just kills me every time you say
go Colts. Fuck, because you know, everybody hated the NFL because the players were taking knees. So it always seemed funny to me if the character was like, fuck the NFL and go Coats. Because I'm from Indianapolis. And, you know, if you hang around Indy enough, you'll hear a guy that says Coats. Just completely doesn't say the L. So go Coats is always funny to me.
Now, what do they think about you in your hometown?
I mean, this is a definitely red state, home of Mike Pence. So I think there are definitely people that don't like what I do. But then again, I mean, you don't have to have everybody be your fan. You just have to have enough, you know, in every market, which I'm not going to appeal to everybody. I think nowadays with the internet has proven that you could, you know, find your audience in a narrow space. You don't have to be the Tonight Show guy that appeals to everybody. So especially with podcasting and the internet, if you like, I don't like, currently I'm listening to a podcast about the show The Wire. Like before podcasting, that wasn't a show. It was only just watching The Wire. But now I can interact with other people that also watch the show The Wire. That's what the internet has done, has let you find a micro audience.
That's one of the good things I will say that mm-hmm. the internet has done. I love podcasts. I listen mm-hmm. to several different types of podcasts, you know, from science to just history to a lot of stuff like that. And that's one of the good things to come out of the internet. Now, there's also a few bad things, and I catch myself slipping into that old guy, get off my lawn guy sometimes with the internet, because sometimes I have to wonder, are we truly made to be able to connect with everyone like the way the internet has opened up for us? I don't know. I'm not 100% on that yet.
Well, I think it could be a toxic environment, especially, you know, nobody's posting a picture on the internet and being like, look how shitty I'm doing currently. Look at the no money at my bank account and look how bad my car is. People always want to post the best, and maybe, you know, maybe they're on vacation in their rented house, but they're not saying that. They're like, oh, having a great night at my house or whatever. And it's an awesome looking house. Not everybody, you know, you always put your best foot forward on the internet for the most part. And if you try to live up to that, it could be dangerous because, you know, sometimes you're just, you know, you value the wrong things is what I'm saying. Well, and it's also some things you say, you'll say on a keyboard that you won't say to my face and vice versa.
That's okay. Two things in that real quick is on the internet, Facebook Live. You know, me and, like I said, I talked to Ryan last week, and, you know, the things, and I've had people say this to me, they're like, man, you get to go to places, Danny, you get to travel. That must be so cool. And I'm like, you know, the anxiety attack that I'm having from point A to point B isn't so cool. Or the 18-wheeler guy who almost ran me off the road, or the drunk who almost ran me, you know, or the hotel to where, you know, a family of spiders had an orgy on my back, you know, those things, that sucks, you know,
yeah, but you I don't post it on an Facebook. Hour drive to get there. No. Yeah. Nobody's being like miserable on hour 8 of 10 posting. Be like, I'm almost asleep. Hopefully I stay you know, nobody's posting that.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of the stuff that you don't put on there. And, you know, I don't know who said that, but what is it like? Comparison is the, you know, the theft of, I don't know. What in the hell am I? Happiness. I mean, there we go. Okay, we thought of it. Get off my lawn. Yeah, I am that old guy. Can't remember.
That is a good quote. Comparison is the theft of happiness. When you're comparing yourself to other people, when you could just be happy with what you have. And it's also you're keeping, what is the phrase, keeping up with the Joneses or whatever, where it's like, that's always been going on. But with the internet, then you're like, oh, so-and-so got a new car, but you don't know how much debt that person's in to begin with, you know?
And that's absolutely, you know, and I try not to keep up with the Joneses. I try just to keep continuing doing my thing, focusing on, you know, my goal, what I want to do. And, you know, I always tell people successful, you know, I don't have to get my own sitcom or have to do this to be considered a successful entertainer. I mean, I've already done things that I never would imagine I would have ever done in a million years as is. So if I found out I had a week to live, I'd be like, you know what, Danny, you did pretty good, brother. So I think that's how everyone should strive to be.
Well, and not everybody's going to get a sitcom. And then some, there are plenty of people that got the sitcom and realized that's not what they wanted in the first place.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You just wanted it because everybody else, not it, you know, the one person you're trying to be like, got it. And it's also weird when you're focusing on other people. That's time you could be taking to work on yourself.
Absolutely. Now, keep in mind, if you get offered that sitcom, bro,
I've already written a magician character just for you.
Yes.
It's you addressed in Wellman. So we'll see who answers the phone call first.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Okay, so let's do this because, you know, me and you, we have worked together over the years.
Mm-hmm.
We've done a show on a boat.
Which That's right. Weird
because they were,
it was a yacht. I think it was a yacht. Let's say yacht so that people know how better we're doing than everybody else. This is working on the internet.
Okay, but what I want to know is because you're on the Abracadam podcast, we always got to ask. A hell gig story. Let's hear one.
We can talk about the boat one because I don't necessarily have not had a hell gig. Like I've like a hell gig to me is one that I didn't perform that well. As long as I'm having fun, I don't really consider it a hell gig. I have two, but we'll talk about the boat one first because I think somebody saw us at the local club in Knoxville and asked us to do that show. And it was for like it was like a sanitation company, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was it was on a boat. So that's two strikes in my mind because everybody knows everybody at this company and that an audience could eat you alive because their inside jokes are going to be way funnier than any joke that you come up with, you know? But then also you're on a boat. It's loud and it's not really conducive to performing because it's a boat. There's not it, like the boat wasn't big enough to have a stage. It was just kind of like a half banquet. Yeah, it was. So, and that wasn't a hell gig, but it wasn't like, I didn't leave that being like, man, I would like to do that every day for the rest of my life.
I was like, damn, I wish I could swim.
Yeah. And that's the thing is after you're, then you're, you have to turn around on the river and go back up. It's not like you could walk out the door and be like, I'll never see you again. You know?
So,
but it was, it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't, you know, the best thing I've ever done either, you know?
Yeah, well, it was one of those shows, you know, I always say, you know, either a show is either fun or work, and that was definitely work.
Mm-hmm.
But the
worst day at work is better than a real job to me in my mind.
I agree. 100%. I agree. But you said you had two though. So is there, what's the other one?
The other one I got to perform at a, it was pitched to me as a resort, and then I got there and it turns out it was a big campground, but it was like where people had their really nice trailers there all year round. So I guess technically you could call it a resort, but in my mind it was a campground. And it was outside, and instead of like we were on this really nice tall stage with a, it had a really nice rug on it that tied the room together, but it was outside, and instead of like having chairs like where you would have like an outdoor amphitheater, everybody was on their four-wheelers and their golf carts and whatever those hybrid four-wheeler golf cart things, the gator things, and we were supposed to be family friendly, and we did two shows, and the first one started late because we had to wait for the picnic shelter. We had to wait for somebody to hit bingo. and then once somebody hit bingo, they all came over to the parking lot and they were just heckling nonstop. And they're like, you got to be family friendly, because literally you could look off stage and see like a 5-year-old playing. But then the audience were heckling and they would be like, yeah, you're goddamn right. Like they were dirtier than we were told to not be. And it was just one of those where I went up, because I didn't go up first, thankfully, but I went up like second or third on the show. And you know as well as I do, if you let an audience talk, they will, you don't win them back. So I just kept talking as loud as I possibly could and as fast as I could without sacrificing the jokes. And then after doing a 20-minute set, you know, the show's over, but now we're doing a second one. But the idea was the audience, okay, this audience will filter out of the parking lot and a new one will filter in, but nobody left. Which I can do two different 20-minute sets, but it's also, it was just so like, you're performing for the sake. I could have just done the full set and I would have just been done once, you know? So it was just odd, because after the show, they'd be like, they were like, yeah, you were good, man. But you could tell that like they didn't mean it. But also mid set, you could see like headlights turn on and an engine turn on and somebody would back out and go to their campsite. So you could like, usually at a club, somebody's leaving quietly, but you would hear an engine and they were like having conversations on the way out with other people being like, how's your dad doing? Is he doing okay? Well, we're praying for it. Like that kind of thing.
Oh man. And you know, hopefully though, you didn't have to endure that long. You had something else lined up soon that you could forget about that, or at least
it was one of those where it was just the show is what it is. And I got to work with friends, so that at least that made it better. Cause afterwards we could be like, yeah, that wasn't good. Right. And they're like, yeah. So at least I wasn't alone on it. I had other people with me that were, we could be like, okay, yeah, that was not as good as we thought, but at least we got to hang out, you know, because we never get to see each other to begin with.
That's cool. See, there you go, man. There's always a good
silver lining.
A good silver lining there. That's a good attitude to have. Now, I'll tell you what, man, it's a bummer because the video portion is not working for the podcast, but I'm going to try this just to see how amazing you are. All right. I'm thinking of a card.
Okay.
Okay. I'm thinking of a card. I'm thinking of a card. Take the first thing that's pop. I'm going to try to send it to you, brother. Here we go. All right. I think I've sent it to you. What is the card I'm thinking of?
You're thinking of the King of Hearts.
That was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
That's what I always appreciate you about you and your magic, man. You're always just 100% accurate.
Yeah, awesome. That's great. But, and you know, it, some people may say the King of Hearts, some people say the Four of Spades, but tonight I'm saying the King of Hearts. That was
and okay. Dan, you're the King of my heart, by the way.
Oh, so. Yes. Now, well, let's do this because I got to ask the tough question. And I don't even know if this is a tough question for you, man, because you're not afraid of politics, bro. You're not afraid. You know, me, I'm not afraid of politics. I don't talk about it much in my act. I am I'm a real independent political person. I lean to the left on a lot of issues, really strong supporter of the LGBTQ community. But at the same time, I'm a rational thinking human being. I think some people on the too far left get a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you're like the political stud. So I'm just going to go straight into this. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, well, okay. First of all, we've had an African-American president. And now we've got a female vice president. Also, she's a minority. So we've already experienced a lot of changes in this country. And in some ways, we are progressing and things are really, you know, we're growing up a little. OK, but now I don't know if the country's ready for this yet. And I want your honest opinion. OK, because I'm pretty sure we've never had one of these. But first of all, I'm going to ask you. Do you think we will ever have a ginger president?
I'd have to actually look back and see if we've had a red-haired.
I don't think so, bro.
President, and also to your point, does it count if the beard is red? Because there are many people that don't have red hair on their head, but the beard is red. So
they've got to be. Also, it's got to be on the head, bro. It's got
okay,
be on
red
head.
On the head.
They've had the experience. Being a redheaded child, okay? Mm-hmm. If you did not grow up being picked on because of the color of your hair, okay, then you are not a ginger. Get out of my face. You don't know none of
that. What if the person is elected and their hair is white by the time they're elected?
Now, that counts because,
okay.
I mean, I've got some gray spots. My hair is not nowhere near as red as it was when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm still ginger through and through, you know?
I think we will eventually, and I'm interested to go back and see, because obviously at a certain point there's no real photos of the presidents to see even if when they're a kid if they're a redhead. But I think eventually it's about time, Danny, that we end the gingerism and we get a ginger in office.
And okay, now this is real talk here for a minute, man. This is real talk. So, well, let's pick a redheaded celeb to run for president, okay? Now, I'm going to name just three off the bat. Of course, we've got the legend Willie Nelson, who I think would be an amazing president.
Mm-hmm.
David Caruso. Let's just go with the most hated prop comic in the entire world, Carrot Top. which one of those three would... what do you think would stand a good chance?
Willie Nelson.
Absolutely. I think Willie Nelson, hands down.
It's his music, for the most part, people like his music. And I don't see him being like, yeah, we're going to war.
I don't see that either. Now, David Caruso may go drop some bombs on some folks, bro.
I wouldn't put it past him.
Carrot Top definitely would drop something. I don't know if it'd be a bomb, but it'd be some type of creative prop, you know.
You know, at least he could entertain like foreign leaders when they come. They'd be like, what's this behind your ear? I know he doesn't do magic, but he could do that, I think, right?
Yeah, I think he could. Well, he's loved by, he's got magician friends. Not knocking Carrot Top, by the way. I'm not one of these people. I don't hate Carrot Top. I'm not one of those people. I mean, if I mean, the guy could drop his bank account on some, you know, any country and wipe them off the map. So
yeah, no, I don't fault that guy at all. And also, you know, he's living in a hotel in Vegas or in his own house in Vegas and doesn't have to drive more than a half hour, I'm sure, to perform for his audience. So good for that guy.
Yeah, yeah. He's not standing on a small boat. If he's on a boat, it's a really big one. But
yeah, he's not standing on a wooden pallet in the corner of a bar, which I've done. So
yeah, that's right. Okay, well, I tell you what. Now, something else I've noticed on here is, like I said, I can see you, but you can't see me. Mm-hmm. You're a toboggan, bro. You got Michael Myers on there.
Yeah, I'm a big horror fan, so I could go on and on about just horror movies in general, but I'm sporting the Michael Myers hat tonight.
Now, I am a horror fan, too. It's crazy. My daughter is a horror fan, and she's so much more braver than what I was at her age. I mean, literally, I came home the other day, and she was in the living room with the lights out watching The Ring. Nothing really scares her. You know, when I was her age, that would have terrified me. I'm a big horror fan. I do a lot of the horror conventions. I've even got a specialty, you know, scary comedy magic show that I do at least once a year.
That's
fun. Let me ask you, what got you into liking horror movies?
Probably, I mean, either seeing Halloween, which was on it was at the, you know, when I was a kid, it still would have been on AMC. So it's weird to eventually when I got that, you know, you see the DVDs or the Blu-rays and you see it from start to finish, because it was always one of those movies that I saw like, oh, it's on. I don't know where in the movie we are, because it's like I never saw the opening credits for the longest time. One of those movies. Or like Scream, which was like 96 maybe, when that came out. Because that was like the first one, and I didn't even see those in theaters, but it was like I could take part in that phenomenon of when those came out.
I totally saw Scream in a theater. And Scream takes me back, the first Scream takes me back to the high school days. So that was, I remember when that was popular. Now, I'm a big fan of the Halloween series, especially the new ones that's going on right now. You know, Danny McBride, you know, was a part
of that. Gordon Green is the director.
Yeah. The last movie I really enjoyed. The only problem I had with the movie, and I'll be completely honest with you, I feel like they showed Michael's face a little too much. I don't think, you know, Michael Myers, he's supposed to be the shape, you know, not an actual, you're not supposed to really think of him as a man, to me at least. So that was the only problem I had with it, but other than that, I think everything else was balanced perfectly with that film, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, and that's the thing, people would complain and be like, oh, there were so many references to the older movies, and also it's kind of a soft reboot. But you know, and people will complain that, oh, you could just watch the first one again, which I will, but also if they remade it again, I would still watch whatever comes out. I'm gonna see anyway. That's the thing. So I'd rather just enjoy it than complain about it.
Now, what do you think about the Rob Zombie compared to these?
It's really like Rob Zombie has grown on me, and I don't know that he is a super great filmmaker. And because what it comes down to is whatever movie he's in, it's very white trash version of whatever the movie he's doing. There's a lot of swearing, and I'm no prude, and I know you aren't either, but at a certain point when literally every other word is fuck, like it just takes you out of the movie because no real person talks like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I don't hate it, especially the two Rob Zombie Halloweens, because he did something different, which is I can appreciate that he took a chance, whether I think they're the best movies or not. They're not, by the way, but I still appreciate them.
The thing I loved about those is, first of all, I loved the backstory on Michael Myers that we get. And there was some little attention to details that I think Rob Zombie is perfect on. Like, I can't remember if it was one or two, but it's where Michael Myers was in the back of the van and he gets out of the van and you literally see the shocks on the van raise up like, you know, a few inches just to kind of express how big this Michael Myers is. You know,
that might have been the very beginning of two when they're transporting him to the morgue. But I do agree with you that the Michael Myers, it was played by Tyler Mane in those two, is menacing. He's so big. The mask is pretty good. And he just, what they framed it so well. So he's so big compared to everything else in every shot.
That's cool, man. So horror movies, wrestling, and you know, I love those things too, man. Really, I didn't know you were into horror movies. I knew you liked wrestling, but I didn't know you was into horror movies. So that's super cool, man.
Yeah, and it's hard to talk about that in stand up or anything, because it's so, especially wrestling or horror, because people, if you're talking about a horror movie in June, people look at you weird. But October, completely fine. But June, not so much.
You know, and that's true. But I've noticed, like, I'm doing, like, a lot of these festivals and stuff that's coming around and popping up now, they're starting, you know, like, I normally play at CreepyCon, and that's in August, you know, so it's at different dates and stuff. So if you're a horror fan, it doesn't have to be Halloween. It's a lifestyle. So,
yeah, for sure. A lot of them I go to, especially here in Indianapolis, there's Days of the Dead, and then, Horror Hound is the other one, and those are always in the summertime.
Now, are you a haunted house kind of guy?
Not really. I like the documentaries about haunted houses, and I like, my wife and I every year go to, there's a haunted hayride, and those are more animatronic type stuff. I like the theatrical presentation of a haunted house, but not, it's not that I don't mind being scared, but I'd rather see how it works more than actually going through it, if that makes sense.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, I'll tell you what, man, this has been fun, dude. I've really enjoyed the conversation. I always love talking to you, man.
It's always fun. And it's weird. Now this is how we talk to people, is on the internet, because before it would be every 2 years and I'd see you in the back of a room before either of I went up and performed, you know?
Well, hopefully those days, one more day, one day it'll
happen.
That's
right.
Well, I'll tell you what, is there anything that you would, you know, like to plug, or where could people follow Brent Terhune?
Yeah, I do a couple different podcasts. I know you mentioned Ryan Niemiller. I do one with him every week, and another guy named Johnny LaQuasto. It's called the Cafeteria Podcast. And then I think last week or the week before, we just did a watch along of Christmas Vacation. And then another one I do is just me, called The Field Trip with Brent Terhune. And that's very topic based. So I've had episodes like parody religions. So if you've ever wondered about the Church of Google, which is real, or the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, which is another church that somebody has made up, or other episodes like we did a Christmas Story episode. We did... what was the other one that we just did recently? Like most haunted objects, that kind of stuff. So that one's very topic based. So if you don't enjoy an episode, you could go to the next one.
That's awesome. Well, Brent, thanks a lot for coming on Abracadam, brother. And I look to having you back on sometime soon, man.
Love to have you be back on. So thanks for having me, man.
Okay, that does it for that episode. That was so fun, man. I love talking to Brent. And if you get a chance, check out his videos. If you have been living under a rock and you haven't seen his videos, check them out. I promise you, you're gonna laugh. Speaking of laughing, we do got some shows coming up. I actually do have a live show coming up in Kingsport, Tennessee. That's going to be next Friday, February the 5th, I believe, at the Gypsy Cider Co. It's a one night only, one show only. If you are in the Kingsport, Tennessee area, come out. It will be social distancing safe. Come out, enjoy the ciders, are delicious, and come see a show. That would be so awesome to me. So please come out. If you have not done so yet, be sure to like the Abracadam podcast like page, and give me a follow at Super Magic Boy on Instagram, and tell your friends about the podcast. Tell them to follow, subscribe. We're everywhere, so be sure to check us out, even on YouTube. Check us out. And like always, Abracadamics, thank you for listening.